Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What time is this? Time for the weekly dish. I want fries on my pizza. The rabbit in a tortilla. Barbecue from Korea. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I feel like I should have prepared our producer, Lexi. We should be playing. Ready?
Reunited, and it feels so good.
But she doesn't have to play it because we'll just sing it.
We'll just sing it and make everybody regret.
You guys, we have had busy lives.
April was the craziest month.
And it is good. It is good for us as individuals. Yes. It is good for us as eaters, good for us as humans. To get out and see the world right. And do some other things, eat some other food.
And you guys benefit from it because we're going to talk about all the good things.
Yes,
right?
All the things I made in my van.
Oh my God, I know.
Because we did cook a lot. But yes, we are back and I think next week. Okay. I feel like next week is like the official start of like summer kind of because the farmers markets are opening.
Yeah.
Like we're still in sort of spring.
I think it's still spring. I want to put that, although
my. You don't want to rush.
I don't want to put the label on it. And yet my magazine for May is Best of Summer.
I saw it.
So sorry about that. Sorry. But I mean,
I think we want more summer. So can't we just make it.
But I think we can start brummer? Planning it. Yeah. I think it's just like an optimistic Minnesota spring. Is
Sprummer. Sprummer. I like Sprummer because it's spring summer.
Okay.
And the weather, like, was good and, like, I don't know.
This is great. I'm definitely, like I said, I'm in this camp of, like, staring out my window and going, yeah, we need the rain.
You know what else? You look out your window and, like, yesterday's plant was a half an inch tall.
Yeah.
And today's is 5 inches tall.
I know.
Like, this rain, they just went, boom!
I am excited. I'm not excited by the robins who have built the nest over my door and are dive bombing me every day I go for the mail. I know. No, this is the second year, but this year they're more aggressive. I don't know what's up.
We went to PS Steak to have a drink last night. And, you know, it's in the 510 Groveland building, which is this very stately building over by the Walker. And we walked through the porte cochere. And all of a sudden I looked and there's a robin that's like looking at me that has built a nest on one of the little windowsills there.
Oh.
And just adorable. And same. As soon as we started walking in the door, like was flying at us.
Dive bomb. Like stairs. I'm afraid one of them is going to like fly into my house. Because when I open the door and look back, it's sitting on like a little angle.
Yeah.
And it's like looking at me. And I'm
over the door or over the window ones.
Yeah, I know they do love those. It's strange. Whatever. But I do have Blue Jays too that are just jerks in my yard. So it's really hilarious. There's like a gang fight. There's like totally, you know, like the
jerky
Jets and
Blue
the
Jays, yes.
The Sharks and the Jets are basically the Jays and the Robins in my house.
That's hilarious. Fun.
I know. Are you thinking about garden stuff?
Oh yeah. I've already planted all my seeds. Do you remember the eggplant that I like nurtured the Japanese eggplants and then I got like 12 of them?
Right.
Picked them all and I was going to bring them home to cook them and left them on. So I redid those seeds and none of them sprouted. It's like I'm doomed to not have Japanese eggplants.
The universe is telling you no.
Like just
it's
you can't you have these. We don't know why, but you
Kibosh.
Can't. My tomatoes are coming along good.
Where are you having all these seedlings? In the basement or what?
Yeah, I put them in trays and then put them in windows. And then as they start to grow, I need to do some repotting today.
And are these
today.
All going up north?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I have to plant early girl things.
Yeah.
Because
you gotta
even
get it going.
Those tomatoes up there, I'll be harvesting them at the end of August.
Yeah.
So if I don't do those, I can't guarantee that I'll find those plants in a store.
Do you find the pressure now?
Yes.
To be tomato lady?
Yes.
I think we have to examine that at some point.
Pressure in everything. My life feels like pressure. And I'm either running at 110 miles an hour or literally laying horizontal thinking about the running.
I know.
But isn't that just like partly too? Like I was talking to this woman who's a mom, and she's literally, I was talking to her, she's got her kids strapped onto her, and she's a writer, and she's a this, and she's a that, and she's, and I'm listening to her, and I'm hearing all that, like, energy, and I'm absorbing it all.
Yeah.
And I'm also like, oh, yeah, the kid part adds a whole nother layer.
Oh, my God.
That I don't have right now, because my daughter's an adult.
Right. But that's that 50 thing. That's that 50 plus thing that is so...
quite beautiful.
Like, that's the thing that is the secret to this, is that you have all of that, you know, like, brain power and excitement and, you know, drive without that kid along, you know, to, like, kind of take away from that, or to where you have to shuffle that towards the human, which is great. And I mean, you should if you got.
And we love having kids. And Stephanie's had four. I had one.
There's an article in Time right now. The parents who do not regret, or who do regret having children. Did you read it?
I did read it, because I have a friend that is really struggling with parenting.
Yeah.
And her marriage and just kind of like all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I just really felt for her, because, you know, you don't know what it's going to be like to be a parent until you're a parent, and you never regret having kids. Like, you don't regret them, but the process of being in that for 20 years of your life and what that requires, and having to work, as a lot of people, we have two income homes, and just the sacrifices, sometimes you do regret that part.
Yeah.
You don't regret your person, but it's just a lot.
Well, the circumstances around it.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And I do think that there's something, you know.
So much pressure in society.
Yes.
Well, and certainly how to have two.
Yeah. And you're not allowed to, and it's getting better because of social media to be able to honestly talk about how hard parenting is. But in the past, it hasn't been that way. Like, women our age, like, we didn't have the internet when we were like, had the littles. And we weren't like, I mean, we had the internet, but it wasn't, we didn't have social media where you could like.
We'd go to a park and our kids would be playing and we'd sit with our friends and cry.
And cry. Or and then, in the shower. But I mean, like, we didn't.
That's the shower
we
cocktail.
We loved to shower cocktail and shower cry. But it wasn't like you could get out there and commune with people about those kind of things, because it was still sort of like you'd get the side eye from some people.
Yes. And we were.
The mommy
bloggers
were the first.
I could bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan. So we were supposed to also. Right. Be working full time and building our careers and loving all of that. We didn't have self-care.
Well,
like, that wasn't a thing. Or mental health. No one cared about our mental health.
Yeah. Well, and shout out to the single moms, like, who
for sure
did both jobs. By
for
the way.
Sure.
Girls, I see ya.
Hi. I've got two hands on that one.
Thank you. So, but yeah, anyway, nonetheless, you know, it is true that, and I was just telling you before, like, the hustle in New York, when I was in New York this last weekend, that to me is something like, I kind of just sat back and watched it all, and it is intense, and it is just like really real, like, and to fight your way through like that massive humanity and the talent that's obviously all, you know, like congealing in one spot, and then to be able to have to like fight to the top of that. It's hard.
Stephanie went to the Cherry Bomb conference.
Yeah.
Women, food, people.
Women and food, right? And I'll just tell you, and yeah, we'll talk a little bit about New York eating, and I want to talk to you about the Bon Appetit kitchens after this.
Yep.
But I will say this. So this was a collection of women, and it's from all over the country, but it's mostly an Eastern, you know, you can tell the concentration. There's some Portland contingent, but it's a lot of, you know, East Coast stuff. And these women are hustlers, and like in the way that they're making their careers, they're making a name, they're networking with whoever. And they all, of course, were attracted to Zoe, you know, completely and utterly smitten with her.
But as one would be, our friend Zoe Bakes, Zoe Francois.
Yeah. But it was interesting to me how it was, you know, everybody was sort of a little bit competitive and envious of everybody else. That happens. But it was also interesting how even the most successful people don't feel successful. You know, we had coffee with someone who was I'm not going to name her name, but she's a titan in the industry as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, like not general America might not recognize her name, but definitely in the food space you would.
Yep.
But she was like, you know, she has created amazing things. And then she's like, oh, I'm trying to figure out her Substack and like, why can't I get this? And like trying to figure out how many likes she's having on this and this. And it just, I'm like, she's also going to Paris to hang out with other people. And like, she has a pretty big life. And that's the same stuff we're all still
okay. We have to come back and talk more about this.
Okay, we will.
Okay, so we've got a great show for you today. I even managed to sneak in a little bit of cabbage in hour two. You're listening to The Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. Oh, I should mention, too, if you are looking for podcasts of the shows this week, the podcast system that we use is broken. They are working on repairing it. They say that when they get it repaired, they'll upload the things that you're missing. But this probably won't be updated today. So if you're a podcast listener, we apologize in advance, but they are working on it. So we'll be right back.
That's Michael. He's in the middle of a massage at the YMCA. He says he's glad he found out he can add well-being services onto his Y membership, like acupuncture, meditation, and nutrition classes. And massage. Oh, yeah, totally. So join the Y at ymcanorth.org.
Okay, not to talk about American Idol, because that just maybe I'm the only one still watching it. But
I think, yes, you are.
That guy, Paul Russell, the guy singing the little boo thing, came on American Idol. And I don't mean to besmirch the kid. Like, he was a good, the little boo thing is a great song. Love it. Great. Amazing. He like sang the whole thing. And then he's going on tour with the Megan.
I have no idea.
Megan. I can't think of
the
her
Stallion,
name.
Is it Megan the Stallion?
Nope. The one who had the other. Okay.
Megan Trainor?
Yes.
Oh, God. You're kidding me?
Wow.
They're like, I don't. That something about that bass, no treble.
But like, I felt like this. He's not that great.
Is he a one hit wonder?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I mean to say. Yeah. And maybe I just don't know, but he sang a song or two. And I was like, this is good for like 15 seconds. You're a TikTok artist. Okay, can that translate? I don't know.
That's a good question. Does it translate?
So anyway. All right. Before the break, and this is a little bit of a diversion from food, but not really. We were just talking about like the hustle.
Yeah.
And you and I have had a lot of conversations about the hustle because we are both very competitive people in our spaces. We want to be good at our jobs. We want to be successful. We want to be defined as people that are important in the spaces that we occupy. Is that fair to say?
We want to do good work and we want to be recognized for good work.
And
we want that good work to matter.
And it matters to us deeply, like as individual people, like what I put out there, I care about. Same with you. But like finding a way as you get to your later years, finding a way to be in this space of this social media churn. I happened to read an article today, and this is a kind of sad note, but about that guy, Rachel Hollis, Girl, Just Watch Your Face. She was married to this guy named David Hollis, who was an executive at Disney, and he ended up committing suicide, sadly, accidentally, they say, with fentanyl and some other things. Oh. But it just, this whole article was about this, just this churn of the success churn, the likes churn, the getting attention for the work that you do. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I did this in New York, I would just suffocate.
Yeah, you would probably implode.
Because I can't really be a C player, and I can't really be a 5 out of 10. I'm either going to be a 1 because I'm so terrible at it that it's just something I can cross off the list and go, you know what? I'm always going to be terrible at this and I just can stop pursuing it. Or I'm going to be a 7 to 10 or die trying.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily healthy.
Well, I think it is. I think there's a difference here, though, in terms of how you are. I think the difference is in how you measure that success, how you decide what the 7 or 10 is. Because if you're waiting for someone else to give you the 7 or 10, that is problematic or that's worrisome.
And they're not coming.
If you're measuring your own worth via, you know, your own special metrics, then if you feel confident and satisfied with what you're doing, no matter what anybody else thinks, then that's a healthier space to be in.
I do think that 50 as an age is a mark in that direction.
Yeah.
And I do feel, just personally, I'm way more settled and way more content and way more in the path of the work that makes me feel good than I've ever been in my whole life.
Yeah.
So I am calmer generally, but you talking about it like brings me back to 10 years ago where I wasn't.
Right. Well, and what I'm telling you is that some of these women are like, you know, in their 60s and they're still like worrying about this kind of stuff. And in my mind, of course, I'm looking at them and thinking that they are the most successful women that I know. Like, you know, this woman has a house here and a house there and she's traveling here and she's doing all this with these other people. And she's still, you know, thinking about these things, which to me are like the building blocks to where I want to get to. I don't see that as importance. I don't see, you know, I mean, I don't see the numbers of
likes on things. You don't need six houses and
but I do want to like, however it's to get to something, I think. But I think that it's true. The minute that you start to care less about what that looks like, then it makes that more meaningful anyway. And but because, I don't know how to do that for everybody, you know?
Well, and because we work in food too, there becomes this whole, like, I went to an incredibly gorgeous, like, 12-course meal this week. And it had wine pairings. And it was stunning. It was just so incredibly great. I'll tell you a little bit about it in the second hour. But as I like woke up from that the next day, I was like, oh my gosh, I am not hungover, but it's amazing that I'm not.
Yeah.
And my veins are full of butter. Like I went to play pickleball and I was 3 seconds behind a reaction time because I was just full.
Yeah.
So like there's also this balance of like food and I'm cooking all these dishes.
Yeah.
Working on cookbook recipes, giving away as much food as I can because I'm just loaded down with food.
Yeah.
Which is also this like abundance, but also just like this weird space.
Right. Because you're not, I mean, and it is true that like you're just, your metabolism changes, everything changes. Yes. And so you're kind of in a different space with it all. But I think there's, you know, when you think about like also how you used to live and how you're moving towards living now. And, you know, they say that we talk about the F at 50s, you know, there is like actual science that there's a certain shift in your brain chemistry that like lowers that like need to, you know, be involved in everything or there. It just kind of lowers that level of whatever the hormone is and
cortisol.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But it's like, but basically hopefully you're feeling more satisfied with the work you're doing.
I am, but I just, as we talk about like Lori and Julia, who are getting ready to prepare their final shows. And I remember Lori saying that the 50s were such a gift and I want to experience all that. Oh, something else funny happened while you were gone. I realized I'm a year older than I thought I was.
Yeah, that happens.
And but that was,
I think that's a good thing.
Is it? Because it felt like, how could I have missed this whole year and think I'm something I'm not?
So what did you think you were? 55. You thought?
No,
you were...
I thought I was 54.
Oh, and you're 55.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think...
But I
I think you're...
56. I'm going to be... No, I'm not.
Are you sure?
I was born in 1968, so whatever that makes me. I still don't 100% know. That's the weird thing.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to maybe be 56.
56, you will be 56.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And like also as someone who literally almost died at 42, like, woo, that should be like a party.
You
right?
have a bonus.
I can't like that feels so weird to be at one point lamenting getting older and at the same point so grateful that you're getting older. It's always been weird.
I know. So I want to bring this back around quickly. Please. Because we're going to tie it up. But there's something about, so I got to walk through the Bon Appetit offices. So we got to go to Condé Nast.
I was on your stories like
and
every day.
And I'll show
day.
You more pictures, but it is literally like walking the World Trade Center building where it is spectacular. And these kitchens are, you know, and like walking through their offices and seeing their prop room. I'm going to show you pictures of the prop room because you're going to love that. But literally there's something else about that. So this is a storied space, right? This is like a famous story, like, you know, people around the world know this space, like these whisks, like all of that stuff. And in the end, it's just a kitchen.
That's kind of what
in the end, their photo room is no bigger than our photo room at Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. It's the same. It's like they have sheets of paper. We have sheets of paper. They have more dishes, but, you know, like, and I looked at the cover this month and it's this orange, you know, it's the drinks issue. So they have this orange thing. We literally walked by the roll of paper that is behind that drink for sure.
Yeah.
And that, like, in a weird way, makes it all the same again, like seeing what their walk-in looked like, you know, and seeing like they had a can of Old Bay and some sriracha right by the computer.
So then it makes them just like us.
Exactly. And so then that makes that attainable. And so you don't hold, you kind of like have to think about your, you know, the heroes and like the things that are, oh my God, I can't ever be what they're doing. Of course you can. You just have to have like that will and you have to have that perspective. So
we're gonna
leave with that. We're going to wrap up for this second. We'll be back.
We're going to do something fun when we come back, but I got to have Stephanie help me figure out how we're going to do it.
Okay, we'll be right back.
I'm Stephanie Hansen, and these are my Closet Factory Closet Chronicles. Liz, we are seeing a lot of new projects for the springtime. How about your garage?
Absolutely. Let's put away the shovels that we didn't even have to use this winter. We're going to build you custom storage in your garage up off the floor so you don't have to worry about the wetness or the salt. We're going to build you a custom bike rack. We're going to get your kids' toys off the floor. At Closet Factory, we are going to solve your garage problems.
My husband is going to be so happy when he considers that he can have a clean garage for all his tools and all of his stuff, and I can put away my gardening things. I'll be so happy.
We're going to give you a dedicated spot for everything that was currently on the floor.
All right. Let's
make your garage a meaningful space.
Let's do it. Call Closet Factory now and save $500. So go to closetfactory.com, and when you call, let them know that Stephanie sent you so you can save $500 on any of your Closet Factory dream projects. Okay,
can I quickly do one thing?
Yes.
I want to let you guys know I put a question up on the Facebook. I meant to do this last hour and tell you. But so here's the deal. I am moderating the Phil Rosenthal from Somebody Feed Phil is here on Friday. He's at the Pantages Theater. I'm going to moderate the Q&A with him, okay? And here's the deal. I want to bring him something. I want to bring him a baked good or a dish or something that means Minnesota. Or I want to bring him like a takeout, something from a restaurant, right? But I don't want to bring a Juicy Lucy. I don't want anything that's not going to travel well because that's silly. But I put that up in the questions on the Facebook page. I want to know, what do you guys think I should either make him? And I'm sure that you're all going to say hot dish, but I mean, I want you to think about this. Like, what is it?
Swedish cookies from the American Swedish Institute.
I mean, right. That's a thing. I could totally do that.
And it would be good.
Yeah. But so I have that on the Facebook page. I want you guys to weigh in there and we'll see what I come up with. Okay.
My cookbook. I'll sign it for him. Here, Phil, have a piece of the
shameless
True North.
Plug for
this
my work
is my
life.
Radio host. It'd be funny, though.
Oh, my God.
He'd like it. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is in the spirit of, first of all, I cannot wait to talk to you about Top Chef because you wrote something that resonated so deeply with me. Okay, but first, we're going to do a quick fire weekly dish.
Okay.
And this is what it's going to be. We are going to talk about spring vegetables.
Okay.
And I'm going to throw out a spring vegetable and you're going to say how you would cook it and I'm going to say how I would cook it and then we're going to go to the next one.
Okay.
Or vice versa.
Okay.
You can throw out the spring vegetable. You've got the list there.
Well, I mean, okay. I mean, all right, let's...
And we're just going to go back and forth for the whole segment until it's over.
Let's talk about artichokes.
Okay, artichokes. What would you do with artichokes? Artichokes are easy because I just steam them and eat the flesh with the back of my teeth and some mayonnaise. I don't even use butter.
Okay, right. This is important because I think people think it takes a lot to do. Literally, I put it in a bowl. You cut off the bottom stem. You put it in a bowl. You cover it with plastic wrap. You do a couple holes. You stick it in the microwave for 10 minutes. That's it.
Or Instant Pot.
Yeah, or you can... like 10 minutes in the microwave, boom, you're done. You don't have to wait for anything to come up to pressure or below pressure.
Yes.
You just quickly 10 minutes in the microwave. You take it out, you take the plastic off, and then, you just kind of spread it out. And then I put in my mayonnaise for the dipping. I put Worcestershire. I put a little bit of hot sauce. And
you just said sass.
Sass, hot sauce. I put the Worcestershire sauce.
Hot sauce.
And Dijon mustard. And that's my little whip for that. Okay.
Artichokes, you got it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you asparagus. What's your favorite asparagus?
Okay, asparagus. Two things. One would be wrap it in prosciutto and roast it in the oven.
Yep.
And you get like the prosciutto adheres to it and gets crispy and you get like these little meaty spears.
Yeah.
Or you peel it, if it's super fresh, peel it with a vegetable peeler so you get these ribbons.
Yeah.
With also grate some Parmesan cheese, same ribbon idea. And then just a olive oil and lemon juice, salt, pepper, and it's just bright and fresh and nutty.
Yeah, right?
Just okay. A little salad.
The big thing with me, asparagus, is it goes perfectly in pasta for me. So I'm like literally just going to do an orzo and I'm just going to like saute. I'm just going to quickly chop them. I'm not even going to blanch them. Chop the woody ends off with, make them into little bite-sized pieces.
Do you snap or chop your woody ends?
It depends. Usually if I feel like it's got a good, they're all banded together under the, you know,
rubber band.
Under the rubber band, I just go right down the, and usually that works. And then I just quickly, and I just do like a fast saute in butter and salt. And then I sprinkle it with a little bit of parm. And then I throw the pasta on top of that, you know, the cooked pasta, and then cook that around.
Yum,
I think
good.
You don't have to boil them, right? I mean, yeah, like, that's the thing.
Here's a weird Hansen hack.
Okay.
You know that rubber band that holds your asparagus?
Yeah.
You take that and you put that around jars you can't open.
Oh.
It gives you, I don't have good hand strength.
Oh.
It gives you enough traction when you're twisting them off, and it really works.
Huh.
So a little Hansen hack for you on those asparagus little rubber bands. Okay, next spring vegetable.
Carrots.
Oh, I always roast carrots, which feels very wintry. I don't even really peel them. I just wash them off and scrub them a little bit and put them with olive oil and salt in a pan and roast. And then if I'm feeling springy, I will top them with like, I'll get them at room temperature. I won't do this when they're hot. I'll throw feta on there. I'll make a little like lemon vinaigrette, mint, sometimes cilantro, parsley, like that whole fresh herb thing. And then that's just what we do.
So I'm into the carrot salad lately. And I'm making like them almost like a little matchstick. I've had a couple carrot salads when I had a couple in New York or something. But lately, just like making them into those little matchstick, you know,
batons,
kind of size. Yeah. And, you know, and then tossing them in just, and that's cold, you know, and having it with like do some of the radishes, you know, that way. And then tossing it with a little bit of fish sauce and a little bit of oil and salt and maybe a couple like red pepper flakes in there to kind of give it a boost. But that's, I kind of go with an Asian carrot salad lately.
Okay, I love that. And I like would never
slaw,
do that. So
but
that's
not
a good idea. Yeah.
Right? A little love cilantro. It. Right. That's kind of good. All right. Here's one that's kind of a strange one. Fava beans. Do you ever use fava beans? Yeah.
Fava
beans.
No.
Right.
I don't. I would if I saw them, but I don't.
So,
I do make those, because fava be gigante beans too?
Yeah, well, they're like lima beans.
So lima beans dried, I do make, and I make them into a bean casserole that has a breadcrumb top with zested lemon, with garlic, little Parmesan cheese. So you get the beans kind of brothy and softer, and then throw that topping on top and then bake it.
So these are green though.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
I'm doing it with the big white gigantes.
I know, you're thinking of the white beans. These are like green. Well, and we don't have the favas like they do in other states.
Don't.
So, okay, I'm going to move on to Swiss chard.
Ooh, I love Swiss chard.
I love a Swiss chard.
Okay, so I cook the stems and the leaves, and I don't usually separate them out like you're supposed to. I don't take the ribs out.
You don't have to.
I just cut them up. I put them in pasta. I put them in meatloaf.
Uh-huh.
I put them in just lemon juice, hot pepper flakes, olive oil, and microplaned garlic as a side. And I've put them in risotto.
I'm going to tell you that to chop. So I separate, you know, the stalks from the leaves. I usually chop in like quick flash, you know, fry the leaves in olive oil, pan fry, and it wilts them. But the stalks, I chop them small and then I quick pickle them.
I was going to say you were going to pickle.
And it's so bright and it's such a great little like addition to like tacos, you know, to egg dishes, to anything. It's just this beautifully bright, these quick pickles. And you just do like a quick fridge pickle. I super love that.
Okay.
Fiddleheads. Do you ever make fiddleheads?
Actually, no.
Yeah.
But I just had one recently at this dinner. Part of the 12 courses was some fiddlehead ferns. Very delightful, very delicate. I am a gardener, so I can't bear to eat something that will be in my garden as a fully finished fern later.
Yeah.
Which is why I can't eat the hosta leaves, we're about to get into hosta leaf eating season.
Yeah.
I like them. But yeah, no, never cook those.
They're, you know what? They're just, they have their own unique flavor. You don't really have to do anything other than steam
them. Saute them.
Yeah, saute quick. Or steam them and then throw them with like a little bit of garlic and butter and some herbs. Like you don't really have to get crazy. Radishes.
Okay, I'm obsessed with radishes.
Are you having a radish moment?
I always am having a radish moment. So I think the primary thing I do with radishes is roast them. They become almost like roasted potatoes. They get starchy and the caramelization of the sugars.
Yeah.
So that's just like olive oil, salt, and pepper in a cast iron skillet and roast them till they look like roasted potatoes. Or radishes with celery leaves and, again, feta, lemon juice, mint, all the bright herbs, dill, and making them into like a cold salad.
Yeah. I'm just still eating them raw.
Do you do butter still?
Yeah, I do butter and salt, and I did that. Somebody had them on a plate the other day as like a precursor thing. And I was just like, it still is just really, I love that.
Yeah. Very refreshing.
Yeah. I just eat them, but I also like to chop them, you know, into julienne, into little strips and put them on top of tacos or put them on top of even like, I made a sandwich, like a turkey sandwich. Cause I had to get rid of all stuff in the fridge. And I chopped up the last bits of the radishes and threw them on there. And it just is like a freshener, a brightener.
I pickle radishes too.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. Okay, so here's the last one is going to be, of course, the seasonal, like which we would like to say is the...
It's maybe, either going to be ramps or chives.
It's going to be ramps. And I saw them at the farmer's market in New York. And so I know that, you know, Minneapolis Farmer's Market is open today. I wonder if they have ramps there.
I read a whole article, an in-depth article about ramps and are we over harvesting the ramps and do ramps propagate if we pull them out of the ground? And the good news is probably they do.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm going to eat ramps, I am going to eat them with eggs. I'm just going to cut up the leaves and the little rampy pickly parts and just put that all in my eggs. And
the bulb part too, you're saying?
Yeah.
Like the actual... So, and I do think if you saute them a little bit, that flavor does mellow. I know it's a really sharp flavor. It's really bright, but I still love, you know, ramp salt that I've made before with the leaves. And I like the pestos that you make with the leaves. Yeah, I was going to
say ramp pesto.
And it's just like, but I mean, even just like, you know, I think that it's, but cutting up, I was thinking about doing like a slow and low on one of them, you know, almost like a braised, like you do braised leeks. You know what I mean? I'm
wondering interesting,
if you
or
melted leeks. I wonder if you could do melted ramps.
You probably could in an olive oil and butter.
And make that, or like, confit them basically. Uh-huh. And then see if they, how they end up on toast. I'm back on my savory French toast, by the way. Like,
okay.
You know, I've been talking about that for years.
Yes.
But like, I've never put a recipe out for that. Maybe I should do that on Sunday.
I'm taking a sourdough class in like a week. So I'm going to get back on my sourdough game.
Okay.
Because I just feel like I got out of it and I'm having a hard time re-entering.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, you kind of need a break sometimes, I think.
Yeah, because you're just like, I don't know, all the bread. But I want to get back into it for summer. Just croutons and I don't know. I eat, you know, I eat reverse of how everyone else eats.
Yeah.
And I'm making a winter cookbook. So I'm just eating all the braises
and all these heavy wintery
foods. Yes.
Oh, hilarious.
And
it's
way harder to do a winter cold weather book and make things look good and not just gray and dark.
Yeah.
And there's no bright vegetables and brightness to. So it's a whole different experience.
You're going to have to go to the farmer's market and just like, and again, remember, even though they're opening now, there's not necessarily a ton of stuff there. So just be ready for
that. It's coming though. They're also, as long as we're on the subject of the farmer's market, the Minneapolis farmer's market is adjusting their hours to Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah, after 146
years. They aren't
going
to be open every day.
No. And actually, we can talk about that in a minute because we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. It is the Ask Stephanie portion, 651-641-1071. If you want to give us a call, give us an opinion, tell us what your favorite spring vegetable is.
That was fun. Quick fire. If you want to play along and tell us how you do something.
Yeah.
We're here for you.
All right. We'll be right back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever get that feeling where you know you need to get something off your chest? Holding stuff in really becomes a stressor. Things you want to mention to your boss, your partner, your parents. Bottling it up only makes things worse and start to make our life go sideways. But what can we do about it? Therapy is a great safe space to get things off our chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Sometimes just putting those bottled up words out into the universe can be a big help, especially when it's in a safe space with your therapist. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You start by filling out a questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/weeklydish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/weeklydish.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
651-641-1071 is how we'll take your calls. We'll take you live on the air right now. Our producer, Lexi, is waiting for your calls. Feel free to give us a chat for the Ask Stephanie portion of the show.
Yes, and reminder that we do have a question on the Facebook. So the question on the Facebooks, you guys, is just a little bit, and maybe this is just you want to shout out on what is the most,
I'd like to thank David, who texted me or emailed me to tell me exactly how old I am. So thank you, David, because he was born in the same year I was.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to be 56.
Okay, I want to tell you. So the question is that I'm moderating this chat with Somebody Feed Phil Rosenthal on Friday. And I asked, what snack should I make or bring to him that represents Minnesota? And it could be takeout. I don't have to make it, but it's not a Juicy Lucy, because they don't travel well. And I love all the responses that we have. Wild rice hot dish, Gina says, that man loves everything, and a really good dessert from Cafe Latte or Willette's.
Oh, yeah, the turtle cake.
I mean, right? Bet says Old Dutch potato chips and top the tater,
which is a good thing. And Old Dutch is having their 90th birthday, and they've got the spicy pickle ruffle, which is really great for a top the tater pairing.
Okay, and then I can tie in the pickle, the pickle newsletter. Nut goodies, mint patties, salted nut rolls from Pearson's. I love this. I love that our friend Vintage Dish and Tell. She says, I have a great idea. I came up with a recipe that combines two Minnesota favorites, tater tot hot dish and a Juicy Lucy. It includes all Minnesota ingredients down to the grain belt beer infused binder. It even won a ribbon at the Minnesota State Fair. Come on, girlfriend. I'm going to post her recipe. She gave us the link.
Oh,
I'm going to post that as well.
Thank you.
But that is amazing.
That. We are really excited about that.
I love it. Okay, lots of votes for Norwegian sushi. The pickle ham roll-ups.
Oh, and you could make those.
Right, that's an easy thing. I love patty cake from Yum Kitchen and Bakery.
Oh, that's also a good one.
Maybe I just have to make him a big old basket of stuff and include a lot of this in there. The Minnesota...
basket?
Yeah.
There is a Minnesota maker basket.
I know, but it's got to be do we put Spam in there? Do you put Cheerios?
No.
Do you put Snickers salad? Tammy, you devil.
Oh, grape salad. Don't even get us started on the grape salad debacle.
Well, I love it. So keep adding your
ideas
in there,
you guys. Maybe it's the modern food you think about with Minnesota, like Spam, Cheerios, General Mills. Okay. But what about just the new makers? Mazat Chutney gals? Represents new Minnesota to me.
I know.
Well, the Lovejoy's Bloody Mary mix.
Yeah.
K-Mama sauce. Yes. And just mini oats. What are the new makers, the new people that...
setting the new standards.
Yeah. I like that kind of idea. Or Folly Coffee... the different hot sauces. I'm obsessed with hot sauces.
But it has to be I love Folly Coffee, but there's coffee roasters all over. You start to be just because it's a coffee roasted here doesn't make it Minnesota.
True. So then we're back to wild rice.
Yeah, but then that's
Red Lake Nation wild rice, so you can't get that anywhere.
You could do a wild rice hot dish. You know what I mean? That's
yes.
Somebody said that, but I don't know.
That's a good idea for a cookbook too.
Yeah. Well, there's some wild rice cookbooks.
I've resisted.
Actually, you kind of can't write the wild rice
cookbook. And I've resisted putting a hot dish in any of my books so far because I just feel like it's so
overdone. But you don't actually make
overdone.
It. You don't make it.
No,
that's what
I don't.
I like that you haven't done it. It's a little bit of a shtick.
Yeah, I don't.
I've made my version of it, which is just a pasta bake, in the end.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know. It's interesting. 651-641-1071 if you have an opinion about this, you guys.
Brian is on the line.
Oh,
he's missed talking to you, Miss Stephanie. Oh. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Did the conference play the song Cherry Bomb by the Runaways?
No, and I was very disappointed that they didn't. I thought we should open with the Cherry Bomb.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
I know.
And your fava beans, they go great with liver and a nice Chianti.
Yeah, there you are. There you are. Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
That's funny.
Love it.
I think Lexi has another person maybe lined up, but we'll just keep.
I'm just going to say that I'm going to put up the Juicy Lucy hot dish from Vintage Dish and Tell. And it literally looks like, like I saw it and I was like, oh my God. And it's basically like burger, cheeseburger, pickles, tater tots.
Oh, like in a layer. That's smart.
I mean, it looks, and she won, you know, a prize for it. There's just her standing in front of her beautiful blue ribbon.
I'm already thinking about state fair ideas and stories. So this is a good one. Maybe we'll do a casserole thing for the state fair. You're resisting state fair?
Yeah, I'm not ready to think about it.
Oh, I know, Steph. You've done a lot.
Oh, God. Just saying, you know, I mean, like, I know. And when we have Alex on the show, she loves to talk about it because she is Ms.
She's in the foundation. You did a same skip it, eat it, skip it. Your call for the twins too, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, well, we've done those a couple years. Yeah, I skipped it last year just because of my mom and everything else. And then the year before that, I think we did. I just did it by. I don't remember. We just did a strange thing, but it was we're trying to do a little bit more twins coverage this year, but you know, it's there's actually what I want to do is I want to go try sit in the seats that have the all you can eat. Have you seen
these? Yes, I've heard that it's worth it.
And that's the thing is like, it could be like a $50 ticket. It could be like in like peak time, it's an $80 ticket.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it for foodies because you're kind of, there's only like three or four things that you're going to get. Like, you know, I mean, there's like a burger and there's a chicken.
But how much can you eat too? Like, that's the other thing. I went to Eli's last night and had nachos and they were like, it was for a family of six.
Oh.
And I couldn't take them home because I felt like guilty.
I know.
Like that I'd be eating them for the next 4 days. Right. So I just felt bad. Okay. Linny wants you to know that she's thinking lefse needs to be in your basket of things.
Okay. I'm writing all of these down so that we can do this.
Are you doing Mother's Day wrap up? Someone wants to know if we're going to talk at all about Mother's Day. Can we just not?
Can we not do a Mother's Day wrap?
Okay, here, let's just have a Mother's Day chat for a second.
Okay, well, I might start crying. That's
I know,
fine.
And I am maybe we just need to take a Mother's Day off.
Okay.
Because if I started to talk about my mom the other day and got all weepy too.
Yeah.
So maybe we just, I'll let you decide that. Because you're just coming, your mom's only been gone a year.
Yeah, it isn't even a full year until June. And I'm like, I will tell you, I can talk it without crying, I think. But I'm having a hard time with spring. Because it is basically triggering me for all the things that I was thinking about last year. Which is like, I'm smelling the mud and I'm like looking at the blooms. And I'm thinking, what I thought last year was, oh good, my mom gets to see these before she goes.
Yeah.
Before she leaves, you know? And I was like, so then I'm seeing that and thinking that and then realizing that I don't have her. And that's the whole.
I have an observation about that.
Yeah.
Because obviously like coming up on the year too, but I feel like one of the things that triggers memory for me that I don't think about until it's happening is smell.
What's the number one trigger? It's the number
is
one.
Is it?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I didn't. No.
Yeah, that is the number one trigger for memory is smells.
Because
that's the oral sense is like completely tied to your brain. Like it's right there. And now we got to wrap it up.
You're so smart. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Weekly Dish.